You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Inheritance is not just personal. It's in the larger economy we leave behind. An economy that created 252,000 jobs last month, for example. Or what previous generations save for the next. We asked a few of you how you're saving for retirement and what you think about Social Security.
How do I plan to retire?
As soon as possible.
Oh, God. Not very easily.
I have a 401k.
I have a 401k and I have an annuity.
I am in a union, and so I will have union benefits.
Well, I'm planning to work longer than I had originally planned.
My wife has a very good job.
I plan on retiring and traveling the world.
How about Social Security?
I haven't even given it a thought, honestly.
I'm not banking on it.
The economy is so uncertain, I'm just not planning to retire.
Happy. I'm planning to retire happy.
As Americans, we spend most of our careers paying into Social Security, with the promise that we'll get a little money from the country in our old age. But as baby boomers age and retire, the Social Security reserves are strained. Without any changes, Social Security's Disability Reserve Fund will run out next year, and its Retirement Trust Fund in 2034. Fully half of millennials don't think there'll be any money left for them in Social Security when they retire. That's according to a Pew poll. I asked Stephen Goss, the chief actuary of the Social Security Administration, when we need to make some changes.
So 2016, towards the end of the year, is the first point at which we have an issue that really needs to be dealt with. But what this really means is that the Congress will simply have to make some adjustments. And they've made many, many adjustments in the course of the history of this program.
You're the most sanguine-sounding person on Congress that I think I have spoken to in, you know, a year or more.
There seems to be a broad understanding that the American people feel quite positively about Social Security. Everybody has relatives receiving benefits, and everybody, frankly, is really expecting in the future to receive benefits. The Congress well understands this, and the Congress has always acted in a timely fashion to make sure that we never hit a situation where benefits that have been scheduled simply cannot be paid.
You know, I'm going to dispute that with you a little bit. I'm 39, and when I talk to people who are my age and younger, I think they are skeptical that Social Security and what we understand it to be is going to look the same when I'm ready to retire or when my little brothers are ready to retire.
There is no question at all but that there will be some changes in Social Security over the time into the future. But keep in mind, for example, that for the Social Security program as a whole, combining the Old Age Survivors Insurance and the Disability Insurance programs together, we are looking at a situation that by 2033, we will have depleted these reserves. They're sort of like our savings account. But even if that were to happen with no action whatever from Congress, we would still have 77 cents of tax revenue coming in every year for every dollar of benefits that are currently scheduled in the law. So the challenge really for our Congress and the administrations of the future is to find a way to get these two flows back together. We have to either have a 23% reduction in the scheduled benefit levels or about a 35% increase and the level of revenue that's scheduled into the program, or some combination of the two. And as our dynamic political process tends to work, compromises happen, and we tend to have a mix of those two effects.
But the only thing that Congress has been able to compromise on, essentially, is, you know, naming post offices. Don't they need to move quickly to ensure some sort of stability here?
Well, they do. And principally, the place where the action is needed is, of course, for that Disability Insurance Trust Fund.
Now, so are they going to do it?
Well, I think we can be about as confident that Congress will act on that as we can be confident about anything.
Mr. Goss, do you have kids?
I do indeed. I have two daughters.
What is Social Security going to look like for them?
My expectation is that Social Security will likely look very, very much like we see it today. We have worked with a lot of different members of Congress and commissions. Most recently in 2010, you'll probably remember the Simpson-Bowles Commission.
Oh, yes.
There was also the Bipartisan Policy Center's Rivlin-Domenici Commission. Both of those commissions came up with package deals to put Social Security back on good financial footing for the indefinite future.
deals that did not get done?
Well, they have not gotten enacted yet, but they do provide sort of a view of the kinds of things that many people who've looked deeply into the program are considering. And you'll not be surprised, they incorporated a combination of many different items, I think all of which are something like some further increase in the normal retirement age, some increase in revenue by increasing our taxable base. There are lots and lots of moving parts that can be affected here.
I hear you, and yet I think if you are someone who receives a retirement check from Social Security or a disability check and you hear commission and another commission and Congress has proposals and they need to act, I get frustrated. What do you say to people who want to know what's going to happen to my check?
I would suggest that there is really no reason for people to be concerned or to be worried about the future of Social Security. And one other observation that seems to be sort of important is that each new generation that comes forth may have slightly different views about what it wants from Social Security and really from all of our federal programs. And is it not perhaps a good thing that we do have the need to be able to reconsider some aspects of a program like this to make sure that it evolves in a way that each succeeding generation most would like?
Stephen Goss is the Chief Actuary of the Social Security Administration. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Lizzie, a pleasure.
We wanted to put the question of Social Security in a broader context. How should it figure into our planning, individually and as a country, when we think about retiring? And what kind of economy we'll inherit? Alicia Minnell is the director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. I asked her about what Steve Goss from the Social Security Administration told me.
I think that Steve Goss, the chief actuary, told you the right story, and that is that we have revenues to pay 75% of what we have today. And those revenues are going to keep coming in year after year after year, and nobody has talked about cutting back on the payroll tax. I think the reason I'm so passionate about maintaining Social Security is that it's really the backbone of our retirement system, and the rest of the body is not very well. For people who in the private sector are lucky enough to have 401k plans, the most recent survey by the Federal Reserve shows that for a household approaching retirement, if you include their IRA balances as well as their 401k balances, the median amount is $111,000. When you start doling that out on a monthly basis, it's really trivial. Then you look at the other half of the working population in the private sector. They are not covered by anything.
So what kind of an inheritance do you think that leaves for future generations?
I mean, I think, first of all, we've got to fix this. And we can fix this. It requires a two-pronged attack. People need to work longer, not until their 90s, but they need to work closer to 70. If you claim your Social Security benefit at 70 instead of 62, your monthly benefit is 76% higher.
Wow.
And this is terrific income, too, because it's inflation indexed and it goes on for as long as you live. The second component is to preserve Social Security. We can make 401k plans work a lot better. We need to make them automatic enrollment, automatic increase in whatever default rate, then we need to figure out some way to cover the uncovered.
You know, this is not sexy stuff.
No, it's not. I wish I could make it sexier. It's just not.
How do you get it to, you know, poke through most people's consciousness?
The working longer part, which is really on the individual side, that's something that most people can control. The other really requires legislation. And so Congress at some point is going to have to look up and notice that their parents or their colleagues are not retiring on adequate money and that something needs to be done.
Doing that, I think, also requires a fundamental shift in the way our economy rewards things. After all, we have a heavily consumer spending-driven economy. That doesn't align with a lot of long-term planning.
I think that's absolutely correct. The key thing for individuals is to establish a level of spending that's sustainable. So people really have to think whether they need a bigger house or a more expensive car.
And yet so much of our economy is powered by debt.
For many people, especially middle-income people, their house is their largest asset. And yet people are so reluctant to tap home equity in retirement. And then I think there's also this feeling like you should leave something to your kids. And I think we need to tell people that these are really their assets, their kids will be fine, and they should use them when they retire.
I think about the initial promises of Social Security and the sort of social compact that that embraces. What sort of social compact do you think we are leaving for future generations?
We've known that we've had this shortfall in Social Security for the last almost 25 years. We should have raised taxes in the early 90s. And that would have meant that some of the deficit would have been made up by the baby boom generation who would have been paying higher taxes. This whole cohort has escaped paying the higher taxes that they should have for their benefits and has put the burden on today's and tomorrow's workers. So, I mean, that, in my view, is an unfair shift and should not have occurred.
Alicia Monell is the director for the Center of Retirement Research at Boston College. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, my pleasure.